trying to corral it to keep it in. Just did. Top of the circle. Scores! Austin Matthews, number 60.
We're obviously working towards something bigger. Definitely in a moment for us to enjoy and we'll be happy about. But obviously, the job's not done. The work's not finished.
Good morning. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590, The Fan. Austin Matthews scores 60. It's Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, Ailish Forfar. What a night. What a couple days for Toronto sports. The Toronto
God, Raptors what a time are, to be alive in the city.
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors pushing Philadelphia 76ers to the brink despite getting down 3-0. The Toronto Blue Jays are walking off games against the Boston Red Sox and becoming the kings of one-run games. Mm-hmm. And Austin Matthews, in the second last game of the season, pots two to get to 60, the 21st player in NHL history to put up a 60-goal season, the first in a decade. This, despite missing 8 games, despite, as he said, having higher aspirations, to use a Goran Dragic, for this team and for this season. J.D. Bunkus, Austin Matthews scores number 60. A beauty. No screen. No nothing. Just Austin Matthews and the goalkeeper. How do you feel in that moment?
Well, I know how I feel listening to that quote, first of all, which is, it's a reminder for us not to qualify unnecessarily when we discuss things. He goes, but the job's not done yet. It would have been so good had he just said, and now the job's done. We did it.
We got there, everyone.
And all the teammates come out, and then he goes back into the dressing room and celebrates those, so they have won the Stanley Cup. It was incredible. I'm sure your guys' viewing experience was similar to mine, in which it's a Detroit Red Wings game to close a Leaf season that has now, outside of that chase, become meaningless. So when Jason Spezza is on the ice or David Kampf is on the ice, my eyes go to the baseball game because that matters to me. When Austin Matthews stepped on the ice, I was fully enthralled. And I will admit that I am a little geared towards having opinions and takes, and sometimes this job ruins me in a way where he takes 4 shots in the first period, and you can tell he wants it, which is totally natural because, again, Blake set it up. Not too many players do this. Alexander Ovechkin, the greatest goal scorer who ever put skates on ice, did it one time. It hasn't been done in a decade. And the guy who did it before him said that it would haunt him if he missed it. And I know I like to joke about that being mind games, but I don't think that's true. I actually think that Steven Stamkos said it because he meant it. And you could tell when Austin Matthews scored that 60th goal that Steven Stamkos was absolutely correct. So when Matthews is on the ice, I'm just locked in, I'm dialed in, I'm worried that he's not going to get this thing. I'm starting to stress about what happens if he doesn't score the rest of the year. What happens if he's gone, you know, over a week without a goal? How does he feel about that? Because you might recall he was a little snake bit in the postseason last year. How's it going to feel if the guy who scores all the goals can't score any goals, and I'm going down this rabbit hole of, oh no, because that's what you do when you're a Leaf fan, and all of a sudden he's in front of the net and he puts a backhand and he slides 59 across and you go, okay, now this is serious. Watching that third period until he got that goal was the most intense I've felt about a Leaf game for weeks. Do you guys not agree? I was dialed in because you had a chance to see history, and this meant more to me than Vive, because Vive is inevitable for him, right? Mm-hmm. Vive was always an inevitability, and he would have gotten it the last 2 seasons had the pandemic not happened. And, well, I guess the pandemic not happened for the second one too, but that they not played a shortened season with just the North Division. So Vive was, it was never Rick Vive for me. It was always 60 goals. And he scores it in the most Austin Matthews-y perfect way. Because, like, Ailish, you were there for 50 and he gets it on an empty net. And I was thinking, please don't get 60 on an empty net too, mm-hmm. you know? Because that was up in the air. That was a possibility. And you know that they would have fired him on the ice for that over and over and over. They would have left him out there. They probably would have used the timeout to try to get him the empty net goal.
Yeah.
Having him just walk a goalie down and snap that wrister, that classic Austin Matthews wrister, that meant something to me. Like, in that moment, I felt happiness. I felt happiness. I felt a sense of just joy for fans of this franchise. Like, what have you had to root for, Leafs fans? Like, what have you had that makes you above that moment? Because to me, that was just such a sick, sick moment. I was enthralled by it. You might be seeing the greatest player who ever plays for this franchise just snap 60 goals and snap it in a classic way. 60 is insane. It's the stupidest thing. 60 goals? Those are Wayne Gretzky stats. Like, those are stats that you go, they're from a bygone era. And this dude goes and he did it effortlessly. He sat out 3 games to make sure that he's got the bone bruise. He plays a game a couple of days ago with Abruzzese, and he just snapped 60. That's amazing. And the fact that he did it where it's 2 goals in a game, and I know it's the Detroit Red Wings, and they're a sleepy team, and they're dunzo, and whatever. Snapping 60 was awesome. I watched Matt Sundin my whole life, you know, growing up, and I thought, this is what a great hockey player is. Matthews, way better than him. I remember watching Phil Kessel show up in Toronto, and this is kind of stuff where if you're a non-Leaf fan, you're like laughing, you're like, Phil Kessel? But no, I never thought I was going to see somebody with a better wrister than Phil play for the Leafs. Phil could snap it. Snap, snap, snap it. And Matthews, completely different league. He's going to arguably go down as the greatest goal scorer who ever lived. And who knows? That might be the greatest goal scoring season he ever has. So in that moment, again, it was happiness, it was joy, and I hope that people in this fan base celebrated it, because you're now, what, 5 days away from just nightmare zones against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and nothing's guaranteed. And so, yeah, it was a nice moment to sit in the present and reflect on what Austin Matthews is, and a little bit of what he could be, but mostly what he has done.
I feel like it was also adequately celebrated in the moment. You saw his teammates, Kerfoot, I've never seen the kid smile bigger in his life behind Matthews. You saw Matthews lean over the bench a little bit and just kind of soak it in. And that's something that he hasn't been. He's been quite stoic down the stretch here, and he said, you know, of course it's something that I know, but I'm more focused on team success. And actually, after the first intermission, he got interviewed after he, or the second intermission, he had 59, and he said that was the first time that he said, well, it's something that I want, and that's something that I know I want to get, but that's not the end all be all. It was kind of the first time that he's like, no, I want this, right? And I definitely want to get this goal. And he went out in the third period and did it. And I just thought that the moment, like, it's hard to put into words because it just happened, and I don't think we understand the gravity of it really in the moment. Like, this is incredible. Like, we're seeing something historical, but we look back 2, 5, 10 years from now, like, we just saw something that might not be replicated as we know for another 10, 20 years. And maybe he does it again, but I think that's what's so special about 60 is 50. We knew that. Yeah, he can get 50, maybe 3, 4, 5 times in his career. Who knows? But 60 is so special. To see the way that the fans celebrated him in the moment, to see Dubas, that clip of Dubas, like, that is a proud father moment. Like, he is gushing with happiness. And you know, the Maple Leafs organization isn't really, they like to play their cards close to their heart. Like, they're not overly rah-rah celebratory. But to see him smile like that, to see his teammates celebrate him. He comes off the ice. He obviously gets first star. He gets into the dressing room. They douse him with water. He gets the post-game interviews where he's, wow, this is like really incredible moment. All of his teammates just applauding who he is and what he has done for this team. Like, it was completely celebrated adequately and even more so. And I think not only does this allow for him to take a break and not play this Bruins bubble wrap game, which, thank God, because if he had 59, you knew he was in there, and that's a bit scary. But it allows him to be in a incredible mindset going into the playoffs. And that's how you justify, like, yes, getting 60 goals is great, but he said the work isn't done. This is just a stepping stone. And that just gives you so much confidence as a Leafs fan that this is going to be something different in this postseason. And the same night that they clinch a playoff berth, they clinch home ice. Same night that Jack Campbell gets a shutout. It's just a perfect night. Perfect night.
You mentioned that 50, it's like that social network clip. You know, making $1 million isn't cool. You know, it's cool, $1 billion. That's mm-hmm. how I feel about the 50 and 60. 200, there have been 200 instances of a player getting 50 goals in an NHL season. There have only been 40 of a player getting 60. Mm-hmm. I honestly sat down with the numbers last night, and I felt pretty guilty because I look at it, and I'm like, all I could think was, man, he missed 8 games too. Yeah. And just how much higher he could have gone. And I looked at, we don't have time of ice stats going back too far, but like you compare this to Ovi's 65 goal season, and Matthews played
Stamkos
like
played 82 in 2011-12.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Stamkos played 300 more minutes than Austin mm-hmm. Matthews. So like 20% extra on top of that. It's like, man, you could have, this could have been even higher. It's just, and I don't mean that to say 60 isn't amazing. 60 is amazing. It's just to contextualize that this is very likely the greatest goal scoring season any of us will see, at least in the, you know, this rough frame of time. Like, it's just hard to imagine someone being a better goal scorer than Austin Matthews has been this year.
So that's how I felt about it too, though. Like, I think context is important with all these things because, again, we're usually focused on what's next, right? Even with Matthews, and even as we're talking about it, you know, Ailish, you brought up how he's saying the job's not done, or is there going on to try? For me, I'm just very much, who cares? I already know Austin Matthews wants to win a Stanley Cup. That's what I was saying about mm-hmm. qualifying off the top, where we go, it's kind of ridiculous to me that you have to say these things, right? It's like when we do our show and then we say, and of course, right? And then we say something overtly obvious as we're trying to make a point about something. Matthews doing that, it reminds you of why you cheer for the Toronto Maple Leafs, or why it means more to cheer for the Toronto Maple Leafs than a lot of other franchises. Been around forever. Their original six. It's over 100 years. What? Is this the 107th, 108th season of the Toronto Maple Leafs? And he just did this with them. That means more. It does. I'm sorry to the rest of the world, the rest of the hockey universe, the fans of all the other teams that don't matter nearly as much. Like, unless you're a Habs fan, your organization doesn't mean anything compared to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, there's only one organization that you can compare us to, and even you guys are way smaller, and there's, like, you got one iota of the fan base. Like, this is a special moment for them. And that's what I'm saying. You go 108 years or whatever, you've got no Stanley Cups in 67, and now you finally have this phenom that allows you to feel like maybe things won't be that bad after all. Honestly, I would have thought it would have been the most Toronto Maple Leafs ever thing for him to sit at 59. Right? For him to sit at 59 goals, I would have gone, that's so classic, this. But he doesn't.
I think there was a coach recently that would have done that, too.
But, yeah, I mean, I kind of think his own coach did that to him a little bit as well. But, yes, but he hits it. He hits it, he hits it, he hits it. And it just felt like, oh, right, like, things are possible. Good things are possible for this organization. He did that. And so, yeah, I don't really care. People can make fun of it if they want, if they think that people are over-celebrating it here. Blake just said it. It's one of the greatest goal-scoring seasons ever. And celebrating that stuff in the moment, not everything is Stanley Cups. And I think that with our championship focus and our what's next culture and all that different stuff, or do the better thing immediately as it's happening, I just kind of sat with that yesterday and was like, man, my whole life as a Leafs fan has been pretty much nothing but torture. There have been very few moments of real happiness. There was high school where they were beating the Ottawa Senators in the playoffs. Like, that's that. Right, but it was like, that was it. And then it's like, you look through some of the other stuff and some of the other accomplishments they had. There were, like, you know, times where, like, they, one of the biggest celebrations was signing John Tavares. Like, you know, getting a free agent to actually
Day.
Come here. Right,
it's John
but I'm just
Tavares
saying
Day now, not Canada Day.
This isn't exactly an organization that's riddled with a ton of awesome things or things that actually got seen to the end, and so celebrating this, I think, was awesome. And yeah, Stamkos, like, again, important context for Steven Stamkos.
100 goals last or points last night too.
Well, Stamkos had 60 goals and then 29, 25, 43, 36, 9, 27. Like, he's having an awesome year this year where he might hit 40. He played, they got two more games left, but I thought Steven Stamkos was going to be that guy for the rest of his career, and guess what happens? Things happen. Like, he breaks his leg. There's all kinds of stuff that happens to Steven Stamkos. He's never quite the same guy. And that, you're not putting that hex on Matthews. It's just that, like, again, these things are not givens. They're not guarantees. And so, yeah, it was just a very awesome moment seeing Matthews do that.
Wendell Clark, 46 goals was his highest season as a Leaf. Matt Sundin, 41. Phil Kessel, 37. These are some of the greatest Leafs that my guy Ed Olczyk, 42. These are some of the best Leafs and Ed Olczyk that we've seen during our lives, JD, and they didn't sniff this. They didn't come anywhere close to a season like this. And yeah, if there's, I know you were saying, oh, if anyone thinks they're over-celebrating, maybe you're inventing a guy. Maybe that guy's out there.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am. No. I just, well, but, maybe part of me is just that I'm defensive about.
I'm addressing that guy, whether invented or not, is, like, short of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have the Stamkos 60-goal season and multiple recent cups, any other fan base is just being petty and being a loser about a really cool thing, because not everything is cups. One team wins a cup every year. You said 104 Leaf seasons. There have been 104 Stanley Cup winners in that time. You know how many guys have scored 60 goals? It's happened 40 times, 21 different players. It's actually, this is a Super Stanley Cup. We'll put that in our back pocket.
I don't think I'm defending against the guy just because of the way everything, again, is qualified, right? Where Matthews has to say the job isn't done. Like, there is a section of, I think, the fan base that goes, I don't really want to celebrate this because get out of the first round, and they're so hyper-focused on, like, Matthews has had great individual accomplishments that people go, oh, okay, this isn't as big of a deal. And then I think that there are people outside the fan base, which I really shouldn't care about as much, but there are people who...
It wasn't a comment on you. It was just like...
No.
Addressing that guy, the invented guy, but the real guy, if he's out there. And of course, you know, if that guy is out there, he is listening to Toronto Sports Radio about
this. And they're texting in on the text line, and I see it last night, and I see that right away. It's like, well, who cares? Win a round, you losers. And it's fine, sure. But I think the problem is this would be celebrated if he played for any other team. It's the Toronto Maple Leafs connection. You know, he's the first American to ever score 60. A lot of this happens with European players. Like, this
you just ruined it. That's the only part that sucks.
I think, like, that's something really special as well. Like,
For them. That part of it is not special for
me. We already had a Canadian, so that's fine. But I just think that the problem is that he plays for Toronto Maple Leafs. And there's already, everybody likes to say that the whole universe revolves around the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, sure. Then show me another person that scored 60 goals this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's it. I think that we are a defensive bunch because we're always ready to get hurt if you care about this organization. And people want team success so badly. But I think Austin Matthews wants team success more even than you. Like, to you, it's something that you check out of, right? You go back to your job, you go back to your kids, you go back to your friends, you go back to your family. Even when you're listening to the show, you think it matters the most to you. It's like, no. Austin Matthews cares the most. It's his legacy. You saw it last night. You think that he's not going to celebrate like a Stanley Cup more than that? And again, now they're going to face Tampa in the first round. By the way, this is the actual positive hockey spin zone on this. If we're done talking about just sort of the accomplishment of 60, I think there was an importance to it as well. Like, I don't know what those guys are playing for other than some individual stuff down the stretch, because there's no playoffs where they're going, home ice is locked up. I'm going, who cares? That's done. Home ice advantage in sports now is not what it once was, right? Of course you'd rather play.
Well, it's the first time they clinched home ice since 2004, which was the last time they won a playoff series. So maybe that's a little bit of a positive spin.
Hey, it's not that this isn't a positive spin. I'm just saying a lot of these games mean so little that their coach is going, let's call Nick Robertson back up here. Let's see what he can do. And even though we already saw what he could do, and that's not contribute to this team in the postseason right now, sure, we'll put Abbruzzese up on the top line. Hey, basically, the last 2 weeks, their head coach went, who wants to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I almost got called up.
Yeah, it was
night.
Like, what was that Mark Wahlberg movie, Victorious or whatever, where he gets to try out for the
Invincible.
Eagles? That's it. It's like the Toronto Maple Leafs were the modern day Invincible. There was open tryouts. You had Dennis and Dee down at, you know, the Link, Blake, trying to work work out and get a spot on the Toronto Maple Leafs, seeing if they could just catch a few minutes.
The Field Champions playoff.
Yeah, they're juggling the lines. They're throwing the backup in against Tampa. There's all kinds of just trickery afoot. That's not the word I want to use. You know what I'm talking about. They didn't care. But you know what they cared about? They cared about Austin Matthews trying to get that number and him being on the ice and that team staying engaged and him taking those shots and locking in. I think that's a good thing. I don't think that it's an overtaxing situation. They didn't do it in a way that was lame where they're just constantly trying to push for this. But it goes back to the same thing I've said over and over. Why the goal chase was important is individual success breeds team success. And I don't know how you could think that the guy just scoring 60 goals, feeling on top of the world, feeling like everything he puts on net goes in, closing his season with that reminder that he's the greatest at that, isn't good for you heading into a playoff series where it's all going to be about your mentals and whether or not you can carry that over.
Love that point. Nothing matters until the playoffs. Well, getting your guys going into the playoffs in the right headspace and the right physical space is important, and they've managed to do both. And Austin Matthews, you know, he doesn't strike me as the type of guy who would get in his own head too much, but if he does, the team can sit him down and be like, you are one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. Look at the history book. I also think it says
I think he was a little, though, Blake, don't you? Like, he was shooting the puck a lot.
I think they're
I mean, even this year, like during this goal scoring chase, of like the amount of times he was putting the puck on net the last few games that he played,
mental fatigue with it.
Yeah.
So it's great that it happened. It's great that he has that now and has that reminder if it's needed at all. I also think it's great, JD, you just laid out all the ways in which, like, these guys, even with the lineup decisions that Keith in the front office made, these guys very clearly wanted it for him and worked to get it for him. And I think that that says a lot about where the team's at. And I think it's just, it's a good thing for everyone to be pulling for your leader, right? Like, we see sometimes in sports, if there's someone who is having outsized individual accomplishments relative to the team, especially a team that's maybe struggled in the playoffs, you know, there can be a little bit of dissonance there between the individual success and where the team's going. And I think Matthew's sitting these games, Matthew's saying the right things, and how badly all those guys wanted it for him and celebrated it with him, says a lot about where this team's at and their overall psyche heading in, I think.
He scored one goal in the playoffs last year. I think that couple games before the playoffs, a little bit of a different energy going into it. We talked about it, how this team feels different. The vibes around this team feel more united, more excited. They've broke countless team records. I do think that that stuff matters. As a player going into the postseason, you're riding this wave of momentum. It's different than going into last year's postseason. So if you're looking for tangible things that are different, that's a tangible thing that's different. Your goaltender gets a shutout right before the playoffs. Yeah, I know it's the Detroit Red Wings, but we've talked about how Jack Campbell needs to be in a good headspace. You got these personal accolades that keep piling up. If Marner can get to 100 points, that's even more special. But to have the best player feeling great, he's going to win a heart. You can't say that that is a bad thing, like going into the playoffs. And we look for things that are important, and that, to me, is extremely important to be firing on all cylinders two games before you go into the most important part of the season, that everything matters.
The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause with that is heading into last year's playoffs, Matthews had scored 8 goals in his last 10 games, and the team was like 7-1-2.
Yeah, but that was a fake season. Honestly, those were scrimmages.
I know, it was a fake
entire year, right? Like, it was a fake season the entire way through.
Mm-hmm. Although, and like, 4 of those games had been against Montreal, so maybe that's even worse. I don't know. What a dumb season it was.
Last year, we all had to trumpet up the season as being not fake, because we thought the Leafs were going to go to a conference finals. So the way that I was selling it was that it was actually going to be 2 Stanley Cups, like the Canadian Stanley Cup, because you beat all the Canadian teams, and then potentially the real Stanley Cup. And now looking back on that, you go, oh my God, they played the same teams 8 times. Like, it was a baseball season from the 20s where you only played in your division.
Like how the Raptors are the last legitimate NBA champions still.
Correct. I Completely agree with that. It's the only ones this year. Still, you know, it's a little post. It's, you know, it's still, we're still in the pandemic. It's not quite there if anybody other than the Raptors wins this year. Yeah. So you're right. It's not though as though Matthews hasn't done this before, and overplaying your hand a little bit with the individual stuff can be a little bit annoying. I felt the relief of him hitting 60. I can't imagine what he felt. I like the point that you guys made about his teammates being happy for him and riding that high. I also like Ailish bringing up that Jack Campbell got a shutout twice, because I hadn't thought about that even once. And I like to picture Jack Campbell going in the dressing room being like, "And the shutout," you know, like, it's like,
you
guys
never mentioned that.
Yeah, he's in there. They're all spraying champagne.
You know what?
On
I couldn't
Matthews.
Have done it without Matthews hitting 60. Give all the credit to Austin Matthews.
But Matthews gets the champagne shower, and then Jack runs in the room like, and also, aren't you forgetting something? That's what I like to.
Quietly though, Campbell four really good games in a row. 9.43 over his last four. I know these games don't mean a whole lot. Lot, but we teed it up heading into these last couple weeks.
The mental psyche of a goaltender.
And we, you know, heading into these last couple weeks, we did the thing of like, what do you care about? And it was Matthews getting 60 and Jack Campbell looking like Jack Campbell. And check.
Anyways, Matthews was, it was amazing last night. We'll have plenty more today. Send in your feelings, you know, at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar, at E. Blake Murphy. You want to talk to us at any time, you can always hit us up in the text line as well, 590-590. And I'm sure we'll be celebrating Matthews throughout the day today. We've got Kipper at 8 o'clock. Let's see if old Blackheart Kipper even felt something in that dark, dark heart of his as Matthews snapped one. Or he'll just be like, come on, you guys. It doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs. Like, I want a cup.
That's pretty good impersonation.
Oh, Kipper.
We'll throw out there that Matthews also has a career high in hits this year.
That'll
Kipper get Kipper on board.
Except for Kipper probably had Matthews' career high in like three games.
but that's because Kipper never had the puck.
Yeah, hey.
Did Kipper score 60? Nah.
So, yes, awesome moment. Let's all bask in it. And maybe part of it is that I'm trying to ignore the fact that they're going to play Tampa in the first round. And I'm thinking that they should have tried harder against Tampa to beat them so that they would get Boston. I can't believe how much more I wanted Boston than Tampa. I'm like watching the standings. Both those teams have won a bunch of games in a row. I think Tampa 4, I think Boston 3. Maybe I've got that flipped. But I've watching these games going, I cannot believe that the Leafs are going to have this season and their first round opponent is going to be Tampa, and how it's just going to muddy all the waters. I get that if they beat them, it's the ultimate statement. I just think that you usually try to beat the best team in the conference finals, you know, like, or it's okay to beat the good teams later in the playoffs too. Like maybe just not have it and everything happening all at once. By the way, I've heard that movie, I think it's called Everything All the Time All at Once, is
everything
apparently
happening
it's,
all at once.
At once. Apparently, it's like the movie of the year. Maybe the movie of the century, people are saying, to frame it like Alex Wong.
Everywhere, all at once.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a whoa movie. So I'm going to I'm gonna try to fit that sucker in somewhere, somehow. I don't know. But whenever that kind of buzz comes around a movie, I go, I want to see it in theaters. That's especially post-pandemic where you go, you know, it's good to go out and do stuff. And you guys have both been to movie theaters since, right? I know Ailish has. I don't know Blake.
Yep. Been getting that double layer butter on my popcorn.
Oh, my God. I can't believe they charge you for the second layer now. I get it. You guys were out of business for forever, so I guess fine movie theaters. But also, that's not right. That's not right. I'm already paying $14 for a thing I can get in the store. What? How many microwave popcorn bags can you? Although inflation now, again, who knows with groceries? Maybe it is $14 now for three bags of popcorn. But
Kipper's the expert on how much groceries cost, so we can ask him.
Strawberries?
Strawberries? Yes. How much does a banana cost? It's still one of my favorite things. So, anyways, congratulations, Austin Matthews. Maybe I shouldn't have invented a guy, but I don't think I invented a guy. I also definitely didn't.
No, we hung that guy by his underwear off his locker. That guy exists. So,
I also got excited in the moment, and when I tweeted about it, I think my tweet looked like I was saying
oh,
for
my
all
God.
Original
no,
six
your
franchise.
Tweet was completely under like. I knew exactly what it meant and what it said.
Okay, because I got all these dorks in my mentions going, you think Matthews is better than Bobby Orr? I was like, I do, all right? Even Bobby Orr would say Matthews is better than him. But yes,
Bobby Orr ever score 60?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to start to just go fully into that and just embrace it, but I'm like, my God.
I thought the alternate reading of your tweet would have actually, like, if that's what you meant, your tweet was worded way worse. Like, it was very clear what you meant.
Yeah, anyway, maybe I got to go back to school. Back to school.
No, I'm the writer on the show, and I'm telling you it was written fine.
Well, then that's good. You heard it here, all right?
You get an E plus.
Blake, how would you like JD. It if I start sending you my tweets? I used to workshop
Please
tweets.
Please proofread this.
Everybody has those friends where you kind of send an idea to see if it's good enough. Like, you'll have a workshop of a thing that's just a fire away
in the moment. Is this going to hit?
Yeah, kind of. But you don't ask them. You just see how it hits with them. And you're like, shelf this. You know what never gets shelved is items on the A-list. Got to make sure that they all get in. Let's do that now. It's time for the A-list. It's J.D. Bunkus. It's A-list Forfar. It's Blake Murphy. Austin Matthews has 60 goals. Let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it running. It's the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's good. If you're a podcast listener, man, you missed a banger. The Cat Came Back. Put that on today. It's a great tune.
Is that Fred
Penner? Tune. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know which version
that
was.
You didn't know who it was?
You put the song.
I just talked to Vic and I say The Cat Came Back, and then I don't think he needs to classify which one. I think that's he knows which
what
one.
What if
I
he
meant,
played
but...
like a bad cover version?
Classify.
No, he would never. Like, Vic's the best.
What if he played like one of my like screamo versions of The Cat Came Back?
Well, then
like
I would
that.
Be that's, confused because
yeah,
he would
that
never.
Would be a very Blake.
He's elite.
Move. He's like, have you guys heard Taking Back Sunday's version of The Cat Came Back? It is.
Little backstory for you on that.
Yeah. When they were writing, they met with Fred Penner and they wanted to do justice by it. So they said, they brought Fred in studio to make sure that they
Lazar
really got
it. Adam Lazar was like, oh my God, this song changed my perspective on music when I was a baby.
I knew you'd know the guy's name. I knew it. So why did you play a Fred Penner song today to start the deal?
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong,
bing bong,
bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Who do you think is getting the worst attendance in major league sports right now? If you had to guess, if you know the answer already, the Coyotes. Okay, JD, who do you think is getting the worst attendance? Major league sports.
I would have guessed
worldwide.
I would have guessed the worldwide seems like a bit of a...
I'm just throwing you off. Okay, American.
Yeah. Yeah, team. I was going to say, is there some cricket team that's just really drawing
your
poorly?
Your AFL, whatever they are.
No, you should see the AFL stands. Don't you ever drag AFL into the conversation with no offense. They have guys like, you know, in, what's that movie, Mad Max, where there's the guitar player on the top of the car. In AFL, they had that before
that's
the last game.
Standard.
They just had a guy that was on a cable ripping guitar at the top of the stadium. I was like, this sport is the greatest sport ever. I cannot believe I'm just getting into it. But anyways, yeah, I would have guessed the Coyotes, but I'm gonna say let's go with the Oakland Athletics just for...
Well, you're right, but have you qualified non-human attendance into their numbers?
Who's right?
You're right, the Oakland A's. The human attendance at their games is sinking to record lows. Just incredibly low in the 2000s, in the 3000s of human attendance. But yet, they're skyrocketing up the rankings of feral cats, who currently have a colony of 30 to 40 cats running loose in the empty ballpark. They've made this entire property their home. They're multiplying in population due to the coronavirus pandemic.
I thought you were going to say due to sex. I was like, yep, that's how that happens.
But
like,
also, you know, they've
is
been
corona making cats super
corona. I was going to say, Ailish, you could never
this
be
is
the
what they said
reader.
In the newspaper. This is why
the newspaper you got
saying.
The newspaper that said feral cats, coronavirus making feral cats.
The
in
Oakland
the stadium.
Side says that is the reason behind all these cats coming, but they have been multiplying. They don't have a home to live in, but now they have taken over the Oakland Athletic Stadium, and they're multiplying. It's becoming quite the hassle for fans, but 30 to 40 feral cats. Okay. The most feral cats in the league, though, so congrats to them.
This is the same ballpark that had like a serious sewage issue for like a quarter of a season. Feral cats is an upgrade for the Oakland Coliseum, or whatever it's called these days.
I like how Ailish basically was doing PR for the groundskeeper here, where she goes, it's
not
coronavirus.
My fault.
No, but it's, why are they multiplying, Fred? Well, you know, coronavirus. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, coronavirus. Of course. That's why we have cats, barn cats in the stadium. It's the coronavirus's fault. Panning off your problems to, and just equating them, chalking them up to coronavirus, that's the new excuse for anything. So congrats to the groundskeeper or whoever is responsible for the cat situation in there. This happens in stadiums, actually, though. The Dallas Cowboys have had this happen in their nice stadiums. I remember the Giants had this happen. Like, the feral cat thing is actually weirdly just a big stadium, big spaces, shelter thing for animals. Have you guys ever seen a feral cat, though, or had a feral cat, any type of a situation in your life? Because I know you guys are both big cat people, but that's not really like an adoption situation.
They're scared. Yeah, I was going to say, what do you do? Like, you can't have, like, in Parks and Rec, like the pet adoption day.
Ailish, all innocent Ailish. What do they do with them?
Children listen to this show. I don't want to. Yeah,
they take them
and they will go and get their shots, and they'll be up for adoption in Oakland.
They get all the tuna. Is what happens to them. They get tuna upon tuna upon tuna. Anyway, that Oakland, all I think about with the Oakland A's is I wish that it was better for them, because I think that they have a great tradition. They really do. They're one of those fan bases where it's California, so it's kind of hard, but they do have a passionate fan base, a passionate underlying fan base. It's just like, how can you keep showing up for a team when they go, hey, not only does our stadium stink, but we're never going to spend any money on our team. And we're just like, every once in a while, we'll be competitive. But as soon as we get competitive, we don't win that one year. We're going to sell everybody off. Like, they glorified the Moneyball thing, rightfully so, to a degree, because it was revolutionary. But now they're just sort of it's a reminder that that's what they do, is they strip their team down to spare parts and take kind of the humanity out of baseball. So, I feel sorry for them. I think about Marshawn Lynch at his town hall saying, you know, lost the Raiders, lost the Warriors, best not lose the A's. And yet it kind of feels like someday there's an almost inevitability that this really cool franchise will someday not be there because nobody puts money behind it.
Well, this is how they get the revenue stream, JD. They invent the kitten mittens from here. The cats are too loud. They patent the kitten mittens, and then all the money comes in for free agents.
They announced that on July 20th, they will be giving away feral cat giveaway. First 1,000 fans get a free cat.
Get a feral cat?
Free scratches to your face from the Oakland Athletics.
Thanks for clarifying that that's not real, Ailish.
Sorry.
You want to make sure.
As she read her newspaper this morning, she read the newspaper that said feral cats, COVID issue.
I'm here to give you the information here. Okay, so Here's a weird, creepy one in college baseball. So Bethany College is investigating somebody putting paint thinner in their team's water coolers. They were found, they opened up the top of the water cooler. And you know what paint thinner looks like on like the top of paint where it's like kind of, you know, like papery, like there's residue,
really,
obviously.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Well, I'll send you the link. But if you've ever opened a can of paint, you got to mix it up, but like there's a layer on top. Anyway, so.
Yeah, but what, paint thinner on top of that looks different?
I don't know, okay?
What?
Look at paint thinner. But it,
why
like,
are you reading this story as though it's the, you're like, I just sent it to you in a link. Well, you're like, paint thinner on top of paint.
No,
like,
there's
that.
A layer of paint thinner on the top of the water. I've opened up paint before. And it, you know what I mean? Like it needs to be
so
mixed.
It,
you can
paint
tell
thinner on top
layer.
Of water looks like a fresh can of paint.
No, it has like the little chunks. Like they opened up the water cooler and you can tell it's not like mixed in. Like there's a layer of like phlegmy paint thinner on top. And so that's like a really obviously dangerous situation for the players. They're investigating it, if someone actually put it in there, how it got in there, but they're assuming it was the opponent somehow sneaking in paint thinner. So just a disgusting thing to do, but they ended up winning the game 32-2.
Well, no wonder so maybe, they tried to poison them because they
they must be absolutely incredible baseball team, but they won 33-2. It's
Ailish
just a story.
Like,
I don't know. It's disgusting.
Here's a potential
horrible,
poisoning.
Terrible sportsmanship.
Blake, just thoughts on poisoning?
I'm
Have you ever poisoned
it.
Somebody before?
Yeah.
Text in 5-9.
The Fan Morning Show would like to take an official statement on this story, which is. The A-list
poisoning
will now be run through a production team that Daniele will now vet these stories. But two is that we take now officially we are the show that says do not poison your opponents in sports. Okay, we're the first show
to
do it.
Find their arch rivals that are 22 miles away in Kansas, and it was the second game of a doubleheader. So you know that. Something sketchy happened here because they used the water coolers at the beginning of the first game. Somehow they got tampered with. I don't know. It's an investigation. Burt Macklin will have to be on the case. I've been watching a lot of Parks and Rec. All right, here's one that you can. I know you want to weigh in on.
Okay.
The whole Kevin Durant versus Charles Barkley situation where obviously Charles Barkley kind of poked the bear by saying that these bus riders, they don't mean anything to me. If you ain't driving the bus, don't walk around talking about you a champion. Mm-hmm. So, he kind of says that Kevin Durant didn't do much and he doesn't deserve the accolades or the comments that he's the greatest ever. Obviously, KD hears that and he's got the Twitter fingers going. He's posting photos of Charles Barkley being alongside some NBA greats and not being driving the bus. Anyway, so this whole feud, I know you have some takes on the whole Kevin Durant situation and where we stand in this little Twitter war.
I just think, for the most part, I understand Kevin Durant's position of, well, I'm going to defend myself, and if someone tweets at me, why is it so bad if I reply? I actually agree with that, right? If someone wants to engage you in something, then you can engage back. That's his platform, I guess. Charles Barkley's platform is there. He has social media, whatever. I just think it makes Kevin Durant look like a loser. Honestly, you just got shut down by the Boston Celtics. You clearly were not the best player in a series for the first time in a long time. Because Kevin Durant's been in series with LeBron James and looked better than him. Your teammate Kyrie is giving himself promotions to the GM role at podiums. Mm-hmm. You got swept, and you're worried about what Charles Barkley said about you, and you're doing. It's like what you did too wasn't even clever. Like you posted that Charles Barkley playing with good teammates. Charles Barkley was obviously the bus driver of a lot of organizations, and I don't know. I thought it was a combination of lame, unnecessary. And it sort of showed what we know about Kevin Durant, which is that he's easily bothered. And that's all right. he's willing to kind of take that smoke because he does it time and time again. But boy, if that's your priority after a loss, like, if you're not just kind of into focusing more on what you can control and your team, I don't know. I thought it was loserish behavior. And I like Kevin Durant. I always sort of want to root for Kevin Durant, but this is just sort of the Kevin Durant story, which is the guy just never seems to make the right move. And it just social media space, basketball space, you choose. You decide. It's usually not great.
Blake, as the basketball guy, you got any comments on the KD, Charles Barkley situation?
JD is also a basketball guy. Okay. No, I mean, we've had this conversation about Kevin Durant a million times over the years, and it's, yeah, I mean, he's going to do, as his Twitter bio says, he's going to do him and chill. This is what he does.
But that's it. He's never chill.
Like, I know.
It's the opposite of chill.
Like, he's so
not
chill.
And then, like, he got into this weird, like, he was arguing with people in his replies about whether or not he should have called himself a god. Like,
yeah, so he calls himself a god.
I tuned it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, the god comment thing I didn't see any of the discourse about, but who cares? But
he was like, oh, they have an army of producers against the god. And then the conversation stopped being about Charles Barkley, Kevin Durant, and started being about, like, the ethics of calling yourself a god.
Yeah, but the fact that you would ever engage with that person on Twitter, right? That's mm-hmm.
You open
lunacy.
Up a can of worms.
Why? So, again, I get defending yourself. That's okay. I can't remember a time where I've defended myself on Twitter and it's actually been a smart idea. Usually you just go, oh, right, never do this. But for Kevin Durant to still be doing this stuff, like, it sucks. It sucks because and it's not fair because we do this a lot and you almost have to learn that athletes aren't who you want them to be always. And Durant's a great exercise in that, right? Where you go, hey, not everyone is who you want them to be. And just because someone is special at one thing doesn't mean that they're a full, complete person or whatever. But that Nets loss was unbelievably embarrassing. Like, you got swept. You got swept. KD, you had a game where you took 11 shots. You're the greatest scorer who ever lived. Like, he is. He's factually that. That's just we can do the Kevin Durant or the James Harden thing with the points or MJ. If you had one scorer in his prime to get you a basket, any situation, and you didn't choose Kevin Durant, I don't think that you know basketball. Like, I just don't think that there's a case to be made for anybody else. And this dude just consistently, nonstop, seems to care way too much what other people think. And it's the thing is, too, is it's one thing to do this stuff and be funny about it, right? Where you kind of have a bit of tongue-in-cheek sense of humor, but you can just tell, like, I saw his Instagram thing. It's three posts of Charles Barkley where he's just sour, you know? He's just sour about it. Like, how about some accountability from you ever, Kevin Durant? Like, how about just a little sliver of accountability going, you know what? I thought Golden State was going to be different. You know what? I tried to make a super team in Brooklyn, and do they have a playoff series win? I can't remember if they got one last year. I'm sure they did because they ended up with Milwaukee. But who'd they beat?
I don't know. Nobody.
Exactly. Good. So they beat a nobody squad, and they got one playoff series win in 2 years with Kevin Durant there. Like, stop making everything about other people. Just a little bit of accountability, and maybe that'll help you move forward.
They beat that Celtics team last year.
Right. They did beat the Celtics last year. Now I'm kind of vaguely remembering that. That
the Celtics Tristan
team
Thompson
was falling
Celtics.
Apart. Yeah, I was going to say the Tristan. Yeah, the Celtics team, quite different. So anyway, yeah, I would say that Kevin Durant is both in some ways one of my favorite athletes ever in the sense of getting to watch him has been a true pleasure, but he's also got to be right there for most disappointing of all time as well. And that's a weird thing to say for a guy with finals MVPs.
I'm not sure who else does that much like engagement and listens to what people say about him and takes it so personally. Like, you have to have a little bit of thick skin if you're going to be in that role. Like, the what people say about you online, it takes a lot of stress. And it's a bad rabbit hole to get down to be looking at that and replying to people. And I definitely think it jades the way that you view an athlete at the end of their career. you know, you just said favorite athlete, but maybe least favorite athlete. Like, if you just don't engage with people online, maybe, sure, defend yourself, but to get in these arguments with broadcasters, and it gets really petty. And I think it just, it really, if I was a fan of a player and they were doing that, I wouldn't feel great about my decision to support them and you know, fight for them and argue for them. But,
well, you also like, run you into something? That. If, you know, if you have an issue with this or you don't like that people, you know, come at you and you feel like you're targeted or whatever, well,
they're
guess what makes
more.
People do that more? Engaging with it all the time. And that's not to say he shouldn't do it. He's his own person. Do whatever. But you can also then be like, well, I'm always a topic of conversation because, yeah, you engage with it. You're tell people there's this feedback loop of, hey, if you create content around Kevin Durant, he'll fuel the content cycle and he'll, you know, Barkley doesn't need this, but there are some level of media that like KD responding to you is a nice little boost in your engagement or your ego or whatever. Who doesn't need a boost in their ego right now are the Toronto Blue Jays because they keep winning atop the AL East, one run win merchants, extra innings against the Red Sox last night. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about those Blue Jays. It's Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.